Now read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from John chapter 11, verse 25. Now I'll read. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are greatly awaiting your kingdom. And today we're able to celebrate Easter, and this is a true celebration of you. Because of our sin, we only had the opportunity to just die. But because of your grace, Lord, you've provided a way of salvation for us through Jesus Christ's death on and resurrection on the cross. If we just believe, we can be saved. Today, too, we thank you for allowing us to have the faith in this truth and to remember our family members and friends who have passed away before us. May all of our friends and family members be saved. May they all accept the salvation of Jesus Christ. May as many people as possible hear about Jesus Christ and do so through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. We're here to celebrate Easter today, and it's wonderful to be able to do so with you. Today is Easter, and Easter is a celebration of Jesus Christ, how he took all of our sin upon himself on the cross, died, and was resurrected 3 days later, resolving our problem of sin and giving us hope for heaven. That is what we remember today on Easter. We have also had family members and friends who have passed away before us, and we can remember that we have hope to be able to see them again today. Today, we'll be looking at a passage in the Bible and hearing a message from that. Perhaps you know baseball, the sport, right? You know it, right? You know baseball. Did you know that it's actually a very terrible sport? Because the words involved with baseball are scary. If you just pretend you're listening to this for the first time, you don't know anything about baseball. So there's 4 different bases, right? And if you go around the 4 bases, you get a point. And the runner comes out, and if they try to get to a base quickly, it's called a stolen base. So this is just a criminal act, right? Stealing. And then if you're trying to make a runner out, then it's referred to stabbing in Japanese. They say the runner is stabbed. And if the pitcher throws a ball and hits the pitcher by mistake, it's referred to as like a dead ball. A dead ball. This is terrible. And then for baseball, if you have 3 outs, you change the players. And so if there's 3 all at once, it's called a triple killing. This sport just sounds terrible. And it's not just baseball terminology, but the fans are scary too. In Japan, there's the Giants team and Hanshin Tigers team, and and if the husband and wife are different fans of different teams, like, they won't speak to each other because they're just always upset with each other. I'm speaking of my father and mother, actually. And the kids who are born out of these families can't really fight, you know, for one or the other team, and they end up cheering for a different fan, like Cebu, just as myself. Anyway, if you don't know anything about baseball, if you just heard the information I told you, they would probably have no interest in watching it or being a part of it or having their kids play it. But actually, it really is a great fun sport. If you think about it, baseball terminology is something that is used in even this common day. And it's quite strange if you think about it, because actually in Japan, they do try to avoid topics related to death as much as possible. For example, the numbers 4 or 9 in Japanese relate to death, and so they choose not to use those words in such like celebratory occasions. That's the kind of culture that Japan has. So this, the terminology for baseball is something that's a special case, I think. But if you think about it, every single person is going to die at some point, right? And death is just something we have to face. But why is it that many people who know that they're going to die sometime try to just avoid topics and anything to do with it completely? And that's likely because that many people don't have an answer to what happens to them after they die. They have no hope after they die. I think that's the reason. As for yourself, if you thought about death, do you have hope after you die? The Bible is really an interesting book. The most recent part of it written was actually about 2,000 years ago. But the Bible is a book that is the bestseller of the world that continues to be so, and many people continue to read it today. That's really interesting, isn't it? And why is it that that could be? One reason is that the people who read the Bible, many of them, actually are able to find hope for heaven after they die through reading this book. Today, we're thinking about the topic of hope beyond death and celebrating Easter, a celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection, giving us hope for heaven after we die. The first point today is entitled Human Sin. Let's think about that for a moment. In 2004, the Olympics were held in Athens, and there was a shooting event called the men's 50-meter shooting. And Matthew Emmons was a top athlete from the U.S. at that time, and everyone knew he would had definitely get gold. If he could just hit, you know, the one last target, he would win gold medal. And so he shot the final shot, and everybody was like, wow, he's going to get the gold medal. And everybody was just certain he would get it. However, the response of the judges was that they wouldn't even acknowledge his last shot. He got a zero. And so he ended up being eighth place. What in the world could have happened that he got eighth place? The reason why, the last shot he made was actually hit, not his target, but the target of the athlete in the line next to him. Perhaps he was just a little nervous or something, but he hit the wrong target. People, you who hear this today, might think, wow, that was really stupid. But actually, thinking about Emmons, you can realize that we too are in the same position from the biblical aspect. We humans are born with a sin nature, and because of that, our relationship with God is broken. This thing of called sin is actually referred to or called armatia in Greek, means to miss the mark. It means that our hearts are not hitting the heart of God. We're missing the mark. And that call that is referred to as sin in the Bible. Because our hearts are away from God, that leads us to make poor decisions and do bad things. The standard for sin that is mentioned in the Bible is clearly defined in Mark 27:21. For it is within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. When you read this, you can see that the Bible standard for sin is quite a bit larger than the human's standard in the daily society we're living in. In our hearts, even if we think evil thoughts about someone or become prideful, even that thought alone can be determined as being sin based on what the Bible states. Amongst yourselves, is there any one of you who's never had such a thought? Well, actually, about 20 years ago, there was a comic called Satorare in Japanese, and it actually became a movie and other things. My wife's generation actually was one that was seeing this, reading at the time. It's a fiction story, though. And there was this person who was whose thoughts and everything were unfortunately told or made evident to everyone around them. If you had been in such a situation, what would you do? Everything that you were thinking in your heart would have been known to everyone. Would you have been able to handle it? Probably not. Of course, in our hearts, you know, we have been made with the ability to think all kinds of great things like love and kindness and gentleness. However, in our hearts, when we really look inside, we can know that we also have sin. And the one who knows us more than anyone is ourselves and also God. Because we are sinful, our relationship with God is broken. And when we die, unfortunately, we can't go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. However, God loves us so much that he didn't want us to have such a fate. He provided a way of salvation for us. And that's the second point we're looking at today. Salvation. The Bible teaches us that in order to resolve this problem of sin, God sent Jesus Christ to earth 2,000 years ago. And at the end of Jesus' life, he gave his life for us, taking all of our sin upon himself on the cross. And he received all of the pain for that. So resurrected 3 days later to resolve this problem. There are some people who hear this and they say the following. They say, well, I feel terrible that Jesus took my sin upon him. I'll just deal with my own sin. You know, I can understand what they're saying, but that's impossible. The reason why is that our sin is so big that regardless of what effort we make, we can't resolve that problem. That is why Jesus Christ, Son of God, gave his life for us. So, how is it that we can receive the salvation that Jesus Christ has providing for us? What does the Bible teach? Do we have to do good acts? Last year, you may remember there was a false religious group in Japan where you had to pay a lot of money to become a member. Do we have to do that? No, the Bible says that all we have to do is to believe. So, in concretely, what is it that we have to believe in order to be saved? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4 says the following. For what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. In other words, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and believes that that was to resolve their sin and is receptive of this with gratitude, then they can be saved and have hope for heaven. That is what the Bible teaches, and that is the main point of the Bible. In other words, salvation is a gift from God that is given to us. Why is it, though, that Jesus Christ had to take all of our sin upon himself on the cross? The reason why is that God loves us so much that he was willing to give his life for us. On August 16, 1987, there was a Northwest Airlines Flight 225 plane crash. Just after it took off, it crashed. And 155 people unfortunately died. There was only one survivor of this plane crash, and it was a 4-year-old girl by the name Cecilia. When there were people going to find survivors, they found her, and they couldn't believe she had survived. they couldn't believe she was actually in the plane crash because she was almost completely untouched, unharmed. Why is it that she was able to be that way? It's because her mom loved her so much. When the plane was about to crash, her mom, who had been sitting next to her on the plane, took off her seatbelt and hugged her child and prepared for the crash. When the plane crashed, the mother's body served as a cushion, providing her daughter with safety. She had wanted to do anything she could to save her daughter, even if that meant giving her life. You can see how that miraculously did save her daughter. The love that Jesus Christ has shown to you is something more than this mother's love, because all of us are headed for destruction. And Jesus Christ took his life, gave his life on the cross for us. That salvation is a present given to us and held out to us from God. And we have two choices of what we could do with it: accept it or to deny it, to refuse it. I truly encourage you to receive this gift that is given out of God's love for you. The resolution to our problem with death is in the belief of Jesus Christ. On John 11:25, it says, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." Let's look at the final point today. It's that death is not the end, but it's the beginning. In our church, there are many people who have passed away, and we've sent them off to heaven. In just a little bit, we'll watch the pictures and the names of the people who have already passed away. The people shown on the screen were all born at different times, had different families, and led different lives. The reason for their death is all different as well. But there is one common aspect of all of them, and that's that each one of them is in heaven, and they are with Jesus. The Bible explains that heaven is an amazing place. It says there's no death, there's no sadness, there's no pain and grief. That's what it says about heaven. Before dying, there are some people who had to suffer greatly with illnesses or other reasons. And there are a lot of people who had to spend a lot of time helping them prior to their death. But all of the people did pass away, and now they are completely freed from that pain and grief that they were suffering. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you can know that death is not the end, but it's the start of something new. It's because it is the start of living in an amazing place for eternity. I would like to share one more story before I close. In the U.S., in New York, there was a florist at one time who was sending this flowers for celebration of a moving for a bank to a funeral by mistake. And a 17-year-old girl had passed away, and it was her funeral that these flowers were mistakenly sent to. And so the florist went to the church and was just profusely, explained they were so sorry they had sent the wrong flowers, sent to the wrong spot. But her parents just smiled and said that when the flowers came at first, they're quite surprised, because on the card, it said something that was actually ended up being appropriate, because it said on the card, "Congratulations on moving." When you believe in Jesus Christ, if you die, you know that that's not the end. You're just being moved to heaven. It's just like you're moving to a different place. People who have a pain and difficulties they're facing, once they die, all of that terrible aspects that they were facing is all taken away as they go to a new place. death may seem to be something that you're facing, like that is dark, but that's not the truth. If you believe in Jesus, you know that heaven is shining out light of hope for you. And the people who have already passed away that you know and have believed in Jesus Christ are there waiting for you. We too can have that hope of going there in the future. The people who have already passed away are likely eagerly waiting to see you. Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, give us hope for seeing them again in heaven. If you haven't believed in Jesus Christ yet, I encourage you to receive this wonderful gift from God. If you have already received this present, then I hope you will remember just how much God loves you on this day that we celebrate Easter. Believing in Jesus Christ gives us hope for seeing each other again after we die. Now we're about to see a slideshow of the different church members who have passed away over the course of time. Please allow me to pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to celebrate Easter today. We know that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, came to earth as in the form of a human. At the end of his life, he gave his life on the cross as a way to deal with our problem of sin. He took all of the pain upon himself, and on 3 days later, he was raised. We know that this signifies how much that you love us, Lord. And we are very grateful for how much you love us. This option of salvation is given to us in the form of a present held out to us. Any person who believes in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and how it was to resolve their personal problem with sin, they can believe, if they believe, they can have hope for heaven. And it is truly is good news. It is the gospel. We have already seen many people before us pass away. And we know that when we receive the gift of salvation, that we can have hope to be able to see our friends and family members who have believed in Christ as well. We are looking very forward to seeing them again and are eagerly awaiting seeing them at the end of our lives. We thank you for what you've done for us, praying in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have a moment to pray together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us in this coming week and forevermore. Amen.